Scripture reading is Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
One of my old bosses said the best introduction is the introduction you give yourself. So let me give you a little introduction. I'm a retired missionary with the United Methodist Church. I work primarily with the district superintendent's office on Yeshua. I work also with the pastors in the Czech Republic, the pastors at Yeshua, and do English teaching and anything that involves the English language. I've done that for 12 years. Before that, I had a very different job. I was a television news boss. And I made a lot of decisions about what you saw on the news and what you experienced during our newscasts, what you needed to know, and a little bit about what you wanted to know. But I made the incredible decision to change everything and come here, and it was really a grand decision. So this is the book that I'll be talking about, and John has been talking about it for several weeks on and off, The Good and Beautiful Community, and it's written by James Brian Smith. And the chapter I'm going to talk to you about is called The Christian-Centered Community. And I have to tell you, I've been speaking since I was in high school, maybe 16 or 17 years old, to audiences. And I'm not really frightened to speak, but I'm very nervous about sermons, about messages. Because you see, I'm not trying to convince you to be part of a political party, Republican, Democrat, ODS, Pirates, Ono. I'm not trying to change your point of view on something. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm talking to you about something unbelievably important, eternal life. So I get nervous because I get afraid that I'm going to mess it up. And you don't want to mess up a message about eternal life. So when I was reading this book, it jumped out at me that it is impossible for this sermon to be perfect. I'll leave something out. I'll make some little mistake. It will not be perfect. And when I spoke with John Redman about this, he said, well, don't worry too much, because very often I will deliver a sermon. John will deliver a sermon, and he'll say, that was really a great sermon. And then someone will come to him and say, that was really great. I especially liked the way you talked about this or that. And John will think, I didn't talk about this or that. So I got a completely different message, maybe a very good message. But I know that while I'm talking, you're thinking about, I'm a little hungry, what's for lunch? Maybe it's going to rain, and I've got plans this afternoon. I have to go to the dentist tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to this. So this process that I spent my life doing of communications is a matter of sending a message, which is often imperfect, and receiving a message, which is often imperfect. In fact, it's amazing that we live with anything because of all the barriers we have to simple, basic human communication. And that's in part what this message is about. Because we have 30,000 Christian denominations. Not 300, not 3,000, you heard me right. 30,000 different flavors of Christianity. How is that possible? I was talking with the Czech pastor, and he said it's like ice cream. We all love ice cream. But you want chocolate or vanilla or strawberry or maple nut. And that's the way it is with Christianity. We all believe in Jesus Christ, but then we all want something different or something special or something unusual. Or we argue about a lot of maybe things that aren't that hugely important. Because the key message here that I'm talking about is Christ is Lord. That is maybe the one thing, maybe even the only thing, that we can be sure that all Christians believe. Christ is Lord. It's so simple, and yet it's so complicated. We divide by politics, liberal or conservative. We divide by race, white, black, Latino, Asian. We divide by gender, man and woman. We divide by rich and poor. We divide by the way we dress. All of this allows us to be different, but it also allows us to disagree. This is clearly a problem. As Methodists, we divide very clearly on the issue of gay rights. It's a major, major, major decision that this church is going in, and all Methodist churches are going to have to agree to. And we don't know which route we will take. So all of these things that allow us to be different also allow us to disagree, to divide. And when we divide, we often lose the message of Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, why do we do this? Well, psychologists say we do it for control. Because you see, I can control who my friends are if they're all white. I can control who my friends are if they're all rich. I can control who my friends are if they're all Democrats, or Republicans, or ODS, or Ono, or Pirates. I can divide whether they're rich or poor. And this is something I've known, but I haven't really thought about a lot. Do you know when in America we are most divided? When we're listening to Trump? No. When we're supporting our favorite team, the Detroit Red Wings? Or the Chicago Red Sox? We are most divided on Sunday morning when we worship. That's an absolutely mind-blowing statistic. But we tend to worship by wealth, by social status, by race, by common belief. And I have to wonder if this was really Jesus' true intention for us. I have to wonder if this is part of the theme, Christ is Lord. So I have to tell you, some of you may disagree with this. Some of you may think that some of the things I'm talking about are very, very important technicalities. And that's okay. It's okay to disagree. It's okay, in fact, to have what our author says are women's roles role in the church. Should we do Holy Communion differently? Should we have baptism of children and adults? These are all major issues that come up that cause us to create false narratives. Well, what is the narrative? It's simple. Christ is Lord. So, if we can agree, then we can agree to disagree about some topics. And I will tell you, we're human. We always will. It's not really about determining who is right or who is wrong. It's about agreeing on one universal topic. Jesus Christ is Lord. So, our author says, Christ followers must remain unified. If you do not look, act, or worship like me, we can still love Jesus, disregarding our differences. That is a pretty strong statement, and a lot of people will say, oh no, we have to do it this way, or oh no, we have to do it that way, or oh no, church has to be on Sunday morning. It's the only time they have church is Sunday morning. We could go on and on about all that. I don't like the music, you know? This music is too praise and worship. We need the old-fashioned John Wesley kind of music. My church, my home church in the United States, begins the service with acid rock music. Very modern Methodist church. I'm a dinosaur. I'm probably the oldest member, or one of the oldest members. But the point that they're making is it's time to sit down and be quiet and listen to the Word of God. So if it's so noisy you can't talk, you sit down and be quiet. And it's very popular. It's one of the fastest growing Methodist churches in the United States. And it's geared toward people who don't go to church. It's geared toward young college students in Champaign, Illinois, which is a huge college town, and it's quite successful. But sometimes I see things and I go, wow, this is really strange. But it is designed to get people who are not church to be comfortable in a church. But I have had many friends who have come here and said, is this really Baptist church? I say, yes, it's a Baptist church. Oh, this is really a strange church. But it's different. But I can assure you, Christ is Lord is very much, very much present in what the church does. So, really, we are all one in Christ. We are not man or woman or black or white. We're not rich or poor. We're not intellectual. But yet, we are different. And one of the differences is our hands. You know, we all have hands. Look at your hands. Take a look at your hands. They may be white, they may be black. They may be tan, they may be light. My hands are small, and my hands are the hands of an educator. You may have the hands of a worker. You may have big, calloused hands. We all have different hands, for that matter. Even though we're all human, we are all one as human. We have different ears, different eyes, different nose. But yet, with our different faces and our different bodies and our different shapes and our different hands, we all take Holy Communion. We all take the bread, and in one way or another take the wine, sometimes the grape juice. We all take the same communion in very different ways. So at the moment of communion, all of our differences are not as important as what we have in common. Christ is Lord.
So, that brings me down to why do I get nervous when I know I've got a sermon to do? So I don't sleep the night before. I practice it 100 times. I never get it the way I practice it because I tell the Holy Spirit to take over. And so there's a lot of changes. The reason is fear. The clear reason, I gave you some reasons before, but the clear reason is fear. Fear that all will crumble if we don't get everything right, if every little detail is not just exactly the right way. For example, have you ever noticed that only the people involved with the church sit in the front row? Your music. I've never been to a church where the front row is full. Have you?
Oh, I don't want to get that close to the preacher. I don't want to get that close to the service.
I'll sit 2 rows back. It's safer.
I'll sit at the very back. I can be nervy if I need to. So all of these strange little differences come really from the fact that we're afraid of differences. But we don't have to really worry about these differences because we have unity. We're all one. We're all one in Christ as Lord. So, okay, are we through? No. Because you're going to think of a problem. I thought of it too. What if I give you my hand and I say, okay, I know we have some differences. Let's concentrate on our truths. Let's concentrate on where we're common. What will happen? Very often the other person will say, okay, thank you. So what about your hand? What about my hand shape? Well, they aren't real sure. They don't know. They don't really want to commit. So what do I do? Well, I'll tell you what I want to do. Okay, you don't agree with me? I try to be nice to you. I try to be a good guy. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to show charity. That's not easy, especially not easy for me because I worked in a very aggressive industry where there's not a lot of charity. Before the Methodist Church, there's a lot of charity in the Methodist Church. So what advice can I give you? Well, the advice that comes from the book is don't dwell on differences. Dwell on charity. Dwell on unity. The unity of Jesus
is Lord. We are all united in Christ. In Christ, we're not Americans, we're not Czech, we're not black, we're not white, we're not rich, we're not poor, we're not men, we're not women. We're Christians. So that is the real point. But I want to read to you what I would call something of an action plan that comes from John Wesley. If people do not give you back their hand, what can you do? And what should you do? Treat them as companions. Treat them as friends. Do not think or speak evil of them. Pray for them. Encourage them to do good. And collaborate with them in ministry. Try to do the work of God in some way. Feeding the hungry, helping out, cleaning the church. In some way, try to work with them. So I want to read you the summary, the true narrative, the truth. If you do not look, act, worship, or believe as I do, but your heart beats in love for Jesus, then regardless of our differences, we can and must have fellowship with one another. This, my friends, is the Word of God. So, normally, I'm not sure if we will today, but normally we hold hands and say goodbye to each other. And if we do, or if we don't, and we do it next week, just remember that at the moment we're doing this, we are one. We are one, and Christ is Lord.